Welcome once again to Leto's Law. Here's Steve Leto.
Back at the beginning of all of this, we all had no idea how long it was going to last. And as a result, some odd things have happened that people might not have foreseen. And we've discussed that before. So Rocket Pack sent me a story out of the New York Post. New York City landlord facing his own eviction as deadbeat tenants refuse to pay rent. And we've talked about this before, that there's a moratorium on evicting tenants because, well, they can't pay rent, so you can't kick them out. And that's come down from state law, city law. I've actually seen it where courts have just simply said, we won't handle evictions right now. And so at the beginning, when people thought this might last a month or two, that might not have seemed that big of a deal. But here we are approaching a year. Okay, this all started basically in March, mid-March. And as we enter January, it's obvious that it's not going to be over by mid-March. I don't think so. So the question then becomes, as this whole thing unravels, what happens when this ends and the landlord turns to the tenant and goes, you now owe me 15 months of rent. You didn't pay. The tenant goes, I can't pay you. Don't have the money. So the landlord could evict the tenant. They got to go someplace. But then there's landlords all across America evicting tenants. But the bigger question that people have had is, what about the landlord? The landlord bought a building and now he's renting out portions of it to people. What about the bank? Because the bank wants their money. And there might be a moratorium on evictions. Is there a moratorium on foreclosures? And the New York Post has the story. New York City landlord facing his own eviction as deadbeat tenants refuse to pay rent. And so it's come full circle. John Levine wrote the story and Rocket Pack sent it to me. A New York City landlord facing his own eviction as tenants in his building refuse to pay rent. The man's 88 years old, and he's long used the rental income from his 10-unit building on 129th Street to help pay for his co-op apartment where he's lived for decades. Now, they call it an apartment, but the fact that it's a co-op apartment means that he basically owns it, but he pays money into a co-op that maintains the building. New York's got some unusual language for real estate. It's very different than how it is here in Michigan, for instance. We'd call that a condominium, but it's a co-op apartment. But as a result of that, he's not paying rent to be where he is. He bought it. And so he has not a landlord, but someone who holds the mortgage on his unit. So now he's out more than $40,000 and he's got health problems and he's had trouble paying his own maintenance charges and his own costs there. And so he's facing possible foreclosure on his co-op apartment. Now, the people not paying rent in his building keep getting breaks on the rent based on state law. And it looks like New York is about to pass a new eviction moratorium extension that will last out until at least May of this year. So that means there will have been a full year and a couple months that they won't have paid any rent. So the daughter of the man, who's now facing his own eviction, says, we have nothing. We are completely destitute. Now, she tries to handle her father's affairs because he's got Alzheimer's. But he lost a bunch of income, not just from the regular tenants not paying rent, but there is another tenant in his building who hasn't paid any rent since December of 2016. And apparently they had documentation. They showed the reporters on this one. And the monthly rent is supposed to be $926, but the person hasn't been paying for years. So the landlord has been litigating this. And one of the problems they say they encounter is that if you are of limited means in New York City facing eviction, there's all kinds of legal aid services available for you. So the man says that legal aid, adult protective services, and the tenant come to court with lawyers like OJ and the Dream Team. We can barely afford one attorney. He said the agency acting as the woman's legal guardian has bluntly told her that their client had a right to remain in the apartment rent-free. And that's the attorney talking to the daughter of the landlord. In November, attorneys for the tenant and the landlord agreed to settle their ongoing litigation for just under $40,000. The money was supposed to be paid on December 31st, but it did not arrive. So in a statement, Manhattan Legal Services said it is in the process of obtaining a rent subsidy from the city, which will pay the landlord our client's full back rent and provide regular monthly rent payments on her behalf moving forward. But apparently they're in the process. It's ongoing, as they say. And the question, of course, is how do you settle a case and make an agreement to pay money you haven't got? But that's another story altogether. Now, meanwhile, the man who owns the building has been poking around trying to sell the building, hoping he finds somebody to buy it. But one of the problems he has is that investors look at an investment and go, is it worth our time and trouble? And they look at it and go, well, you got all these tenants who aren't paying rent. It's one of the things that an investor is going to say is, how good are your tenants? And of course, New York has got rent stabilization laws. And as a result of that, there are people in those units that are never leaving. They're never leaving. So it's even worse. Jay Martin, who's the executive director of the Community Housing Improvement Program, told the Post, we're seeing this all over the city and all over the state. This landlord is basically trapped in court purgatory, owed tens of thousands of dollars, and trapped in a black hole, a legal morass where they won't get any relief from the government, and the government is saying there's nothing they can do about it. Meanwhile, the landlord says, we need help. If the bank is not giving me a break with my mortgage, why should anyone else live rent-free? And again, we go back to the beginning of all of this, March, and they said, you can't evict anybody for a little while. People thought it was going to be a couple months, 3 months, 4 months, 5 months. Now that we're pushing 12 months, and it looks like at least New York, you're going out to May, so 15 months. It's a nice idea that you can live someplace and not pay rent. The problem, of course, is that the landlord needs that money often to make the payments on the building to the bank because they have a mortgage on that. So no rent coming in, no payments going up. So what's going to happen? So the banks are going to look at the landlord and go, we want our money. The landlord's going to look at the tenants and go, we want our money. And right now the courts have said, well, you can't take it from the tenants. But what's going to happen? This is the biggest issue, really. What's going to happen when everything goes back to normal, at least in this setting? In other words, people are allowed to go back out and do whatever they want to do. A lot of people will go back to work. And evictions can proceed. So what's going to happen is a lot of landlords are going to contact a lot of tenants and go, you owe me 15 months of rent. And they're going to say, I can't pay it. Haven't got it. So you are faced with a choice now. Do you leave the person there and say, okay, we'll start over from square one and write off 15 months of rent? Or do you evict that person, create an opening, and then try to find a tenant to move in? Because you and I both know it's going to happen if you check references and say, oh, where was your last place? Oh, I was down the street at this other apartment. Did you pay your rent on time? Well, up until COVID, yeah. And so what's going to be created is a class of these tenants who, if they get evicted, are all in the same boat with respect to their references. They're going to say, yeah, I didn't pay rent for 15 months. I couldn't. And then what do you do? So your landlord, now your choice is kick this person out because they didn't pay you and replace them with somebody who didn't pay somebody else. And is that really going to do anything other than just cause a big reshuffling? And landlords might be within their rights to do that. I say might simply because I'm concerned about laws that might come down the pike. I don't know. One of the concerns I have is that somebody, and this is a concern, somebody in government here to help is going to look at this and go, let's see now. Tenants can't pay rent. It hurts landlords. Landlords can't make the payments in the buildings. Hurts the banks. We need a bank bailout. And again, it might sound like a interesting idea, but we all know what happens. We've seen them try to bail things out and help people and stuff and businesses during the pandemic. How often has that worked out well? The money goes to the wrong people. The money disappears. Fraudsters appear. What would happen if they said, oh, okay, we're actually going to create a fund now to help landlords who have mortgages on their buildings with tenants in them? It'd be another mess. So I'm not sure what the answer is here. I've had situations before where I've got a story and I talk about it and I say, well, if I was the all-knowing, all-powerful being in charge of everything, here's how I'd fix this. There are some things that I know how to fix. This ain't one of them. Because I don't know. I don't think they expected it to last 15 months, 18 months. I don't think anybody did. So you can kind of understand how it started. But I can tell you that back at the beginning of this, I remember talking to this people saying, look, it's interesting to say you can't evict somebody, but they've never addressed what happens to that rent. Does the rent still hang out there? And if it does, you're just going to have a wave of eviction and rent actions being filed the second the courts open back up again. And then what's going to happen is you're going to have all of the people being filed against in this court running to bankruptcy court. And a lot of it will get discharged there. And who buys that problem? And that problem, of course, falls on the landlords. And then you're back to maybe we need to bail out the banks, which I'm not recommending because we've seen how they do that. They do that wrong. They screw that up. So it's a bizarre situation we're in. I've been practicing law for almost 30 years, and I've seen some strange stuff come along. But this is one that I remember back at the beginning going, this can't end well. It can't end well. I wish it would. And maybe there's some ways to figure this stuff out. Maybe some states will figure it out. Maybe somebody will come up with a good idea. But I haven't thought of it yet. And I haven't seen anybody else write about a good solution to this. Other than we've got so much stuff to worry about right now. We'll worry about that when we get there. So unfortunately, we're getting there pretty soon. And that's a good thing. We want to get life back to normal and have COVID over and behind us and just a distant memory. But there's going to be this huge problem to deal with. So there you go. New York City landlord facing his own eviction as deadbeat tenants refuse to pay rent. It's out of the New York Post. John Levine wrote it. Rocket Pack sent it to me. Thanks a lot. Questions or comments, post them below. Let's talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you for watching Leto's Law. Oh, I used to be confused, but now I just don't know.